tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Well, good day, everybody. Today's episode will be Tariffs, Trade, and Turmoil from the 1880s to a New World Order. So today, I will be diving into the story of tariffs, trade wars, economic booms and busts, and how leaders from the 1880s to Donald Trump used tariffs to reshape the world. I'll connect history, the Great Depression, Japanese rise, China's boom, and the possibility of a new world order forming right before our eyes. I'm telling you, sometimes in life, you know what I mean, when things shape the world, you know what I mean, sometimes we could be alive to see what's going on. I don't know if you saw about a week ago where Russia, China, and India will actually had like a parade or whatever. They're all together, mark as one, right? They're actually trying to unite as one entity because of what's going on right now with the United States of America. So first, right, let's talk about the first tariff, right? The first high tariff, the McKinley tariff of 1890. So, according to CNN, President McKinley is Donald Trump's favorite president, I guess. You know what I mean? I think he was like the 25th president of the United States, but he loves tariffs, right? And that's why Donald Trump loves him some tariffs right now because of McKinley. So let's get right into it. So the McKinley tariff, 1890, raised duties on imports to nearly 50%. It was designed to protect American industries from foreign competition. President Benjamin Harrison supported it, but the law backfired with consumers. Prices for everyday goods rose sharply, and people were angry. They were outraged because of this high tariff, right? Excuse me. Farmers especially struggled. They faced higher costs for equipment but couldn't sell crops abroad as other nations retaliated with tariffs, right? Of course, if America was going to put high tariffs on other countries, what do you think other countries will do, right? They're going to put high tariffs too, you know what I mean, with them. You understand me, right? It's a fair game. And so what's happening in Nebraska right now when it comes to farming. You know what I mean? A lot of farmers right now in Nebraska, they're freaking struggling. So this tariff helped flip public opinion against Harrison, right? So he was all for it. So in the 1892 election, he lost to Grover Cleveland. The tariff showed how protectionism could damage consumers. Instead of boosting the economy, it weakened purchasing power. The high tariff worsened economic inequality. Wealthy industrialists benefited while workers and farmers were left behind, right? The rich people would benefit from the tariff, right? But poor people struggled. Trade partners retaliated quickly, which reduced global markets for American exports. Economic historians link this tariff to contributing factors in the Panic of 1893, which led to a severe depression. The McKinley tariff taught the U.S. an early lesson. Protectionism can spark domestic unrest. It created a cycle of boom and bust in industrial politics, shaping debates for decades to come, right? Even today, in 2025, they're talking about the tariffs, right? Even like when you watch the news, and the Republicans, a lot of them on the news are defending the tariffs, right? Sometimes I really wonder if like these Republicans, do they really believe everything that are coming out of their mouth, though? I really wanted that. You know what I mean? Or they're just talking because it's a good talking point. You know what I mean? While the Democrats are talking against this tariff and what the tariff, these tariffs is going to do to the average American people, right? These high tariffs, you know what I mean? But especially like a lot of small businesses that's out there, right? A lot of small businesses will struggle. A lot of small businesses will struggle because of this high tariff. Because suppose a lot of these small businesses out there are trying to get their product from overseas, like China. Okay, you know, sometimes China, the Chinese goods are a little cheaper, right? So if they're trying to get a lot of their goods from overseas, how will they manage? You know what I mean? The tariffs, you know, according to some people, it's not good. And according to others, or they love the tariffs, right? So right now, it is still too early to really tell. It's still too early if these tariffs is going to really be good for America. Or I should say, will it be good for the American people, right? These tariffs. Because if you're not paying attention, it's not only Russia, China, and India, right? That's combining. Even Africa is taking notice right now. And Africa will eventually, if this keeps going on, will eventually shape the world. The African people aren't like their ancestors, man. They're thinking differently than they did even 20 years ago. These young people that's in charge, you know what I mean? They're thinking differently. And even Africa, right? Some countries in Africa will shape the world. You know what I mean? And I do believe some of these countries too, not only shaping the world, then we're like, you know what though? Forget America, right? Why are we trading with America with these high tariffs for when we could trade amongst ourselves? You know what I mean? Where we could partner up with a lot of these Caribbeans and trade amongst ourselves, right? Well, we don't need them. You know what I mean? It's the same stuff that that a lot of them invent. We could invent stuff right here. You understand me? So I believe because of this administration, the world will change slowly but surely. You know what I mean? And it's going to take a good president to bring things back together, right? I'm telling you right now, this country, I love this country, the United States of America, right? And America is supposed to be the superpower. You understand me? But the way things are going right now, you know what I mean? America's going to be like Rome. If Congress don't get their act together, America is going to fall and other countries are going to surpass America even more. You know what I mean? So now, let's talk about the second tariff. The second high tariff, the Payne-Aldrich tariff of 1909. President William Howard, promised tariffs reform, but signed the Payne-Aldrich tariff instead. Right, he promised one thing, but did something else. You know what I mean, how many presidents always do that? Right, they promise one thing, but they do something else. Like this administration right now, ran on high groceries, right? But groceries still high. You know what I mean? The tariffs barely lowered rates and in some areas actually raised them, angering progressives. Tariff decisions alienated reform-minded Republican, dividing his own party. Right? Even right now, what's going on right now in Capitol Hill, right? You know what I'm saying? Party dividing right now. It also hurt consumers who saw little relief in prices. Businesses elites defend the tariffs, but working class families saw it as a corporate favoritism, right? When will we realize, right? These tariffs don't help the average working class people. You know what I mean? It doesn't help the average working class people because they're the one that's really going out there and consuming different things. They're the one that's going out there and buying up the stuff, right? They're the one that's going to be getting these high prices that they could barely afford. So this tariff became one of the most unpopular economic laws of its time. It contributed to the Republicans losing seats in Congress in 1910. And that's what I believe is going to happen, man, in 2026, right? Because of what's going on now, right? The only thing that the Democrat has to do is all of them need to stay on message, because right now the Republicans, they are destroying themselves from within, and they don't even realize it. You know what I mean? Because right now, with all the stuff that's going on, people are taking notice. And people are getting tired of the bull crap. So what's going to happen in the midterms, right? If the Democratic Party could stay on message, I'm telling you, man, it could be a sweep in Congress right now. It really could be. If the Democratic Party have their message. You know what I mean? Because right now, when it comes to their messaging, they suck, they suck, they suck. They're not good at that. You see what I'm saying? They're not good at that. Only thing they're good at is dividing themselves among each other. Right? They're not really good at that stuff, man. But the only thing they need to find a good, be on one common ground and stay on message for the next year and a half. And I guarantee they can take back the House and the Senate. So it fractured the GOP, paving the way for Theodore Roosevelt's Bull Moose third party run in 1912. Economically, it failed to stimulate growth and left the economy stagnant. Politically, it made tariffs a central fight in the early 20th century America. Early 20th century, right? I'm telling you right now, you know, one time America used to be they'll call it an isolationist by themselves, right? But time went on, they realized they can't do these things alone. And I really believe that Donald Trump, that's why he wants to be again. Isolationist, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Be by himself. Like America be by itself. You know what I mean? But we are a democracy, man. And if we don't work with other countries, right, our countries will go down. It really will. I do believe that. So, how high tariffs contributed to the damn depression? High tariffs restricted international trade. Less trade meant fewer markets for American goods, right? Let me say that again. High tariffs restricted international trade. Less trade meant fewer markets for American goods. Retaliation by foreign nations hurt U.S. exports, especially agricultural products. Farmers are already struggling with debt, facing plummeted crop prices. All about the farming, man. I'm telling you, the high tariffs hurt these daggone farmers, man. Businesses couldn't expand into foreign markets, limiting growth. Their reliance on tariffs made the economy overly inward-looking. Inequality widened. Industrialists had power while laborers bore the brunt of rising prices. Just like I said earlier, right? We as the worker, the average American people, we are the one that's going to feel the brunt of the damn high tariffs, right? We are the one that's going to be going out there spending all the money on extra, all the money on all the damn extra crap. When economic downturns came, tariffs worsened the impact by cutting off global trade. These policies were part of what set the stage for the Great Depression of the 1930s. The Great Depression of the 1930s. The Smoot-Hawley Tariff of 1930 was the nail in the coffin, raising tariffs to record levels. By the time of the Depression, tariffs had proven to be very destructive, not productive, right? I'll tell you right now, we're going to see. Give it a couple years, you know what I mean? Give it the benefit of the doubt, right? we get a few years to see what's going to happen. Because so even right now, if you're not paying attention, if looking at the damn job market, you know what I mean? For the month of August, they only add 22,000 jobs. That's very low. For the month of July, they add 72,000 jobs, right? I'm telling you right now, the unemployment rate is right now about 7.1%. It's very high, you know what I mean? And I'm telling you straight up true, man, whether some of y'all like it or not, right? Republican Party is not good for the damn economy. They're not. They're not good for the damn country, right? Because under everything since World War II, under every single Republican president, the economy was really bad. Except for, right, I'm telling you, all of the last 11 Republican president, the economy was really, was bad, very bad under those damn president, right? They are not good for the damn, for the economy, all right? They're not good for that, for it at all. I'm telling you, they're really bad. And we're going to see within the next couple of years how the damn economy plays, you know what I mean, what will happen within the next few years to see if the damn economy will get better. It will get better. So, social safety nets after the Great Depression, right? This is what came after the Great Depression. The Social Security Act of 1935. It provided pensions for retirees, unemployment, insurance, and aid to families. This was the first major federal safety net in the U.S. history. The Social Security Act, right? And I'm telling you right now, if some of these Republicans could have it, they would get rid of the damn Social Security right now. You know what I mean? Because think about it, all of us average working American people, right? We work to hopefully one day live to see old age, and when we can retire in dignity and collect a little Social Security check every month. You know what I mean? That's what we work for. You see what I'm saying? So it was a great thing when they started the Social Security Act of 1935, right? So it represented a fundamental shift in the government's role in protecting its citizens. The New Deal programs created jobs and restored public trust, man. Banking reforms like the FDIC secured people's savings. Labor protections empowered unions and workers' rights. Public work programs built infrastructure in the last decades, right? Of the 30s, right? Think of the public work programs like the highways and all the good stuff. Welfare programs help stabilize the poor. These changes laid the foundation for later programs like the Medicare and Medicaid Act of 1965. The Depression forced America to create permanent safeguards against collapse. And I think that's what's going to happen again, right? If the damn economy, go down the drain, it's going to take a president to think of another some kind of social net, right, to save America. I'm telling you, because when people can't afford groceries and the gas prices are too high, you know what I mean? People are going to be very upset. Very, very upset. Now, let's talk about Japan's economic boom in the 1980s, man. Let's talk about them. So, Japan became a global leader in cars, electronics, and semiconductors, right? Imagine when you were a kid back in the 1980s playing all those great video games, you know what I mean? Those great damn games that we love to play as a child, you know what I'm saying, came out of Japan, right? So U.S. consumers eagerly bought Japanese imports, creating a trade imbalance, right? Because I remember that back those times, right, we used to always say that Japanese cars were better than American cars, better made than American cars, right? Because sometimes back then, American cars used to break down too easy. You know what I mean? But then a Japanese car could last forever. You understand me, right? So, yeah. So Japanese companies became symbols of efficiency and quality. American companies struggled to compete, fueling resentment. Think about it. American companies struggled to compete, fueling resentment, right? The U.S. imported far more than it exported to Japan. Japanese firms bought U.S. assets from real estate to companies. Some Americans feared Japan was buying America. Donald Trump, even then, was a vocal critic of Japanese trade practices, right? His rhetoric resonated with many who felt America was being exploited. Japan's boom seemed unstoppable until it wasn't, right? And I do have to agree with that part, though, man. When you see other countries, man, coming into your damn country and buying up stuff, buying up these damn businesses and stuff, you gonna feel a damn way. I'm gonna be real about that, because right now, I see I'm from Jamaica, and I see that in Jamaica, the damn Chinese is buying up the land in Jamaica, while the Jamaican people are suffering. You know what I mean? I have issues with that, with those type of things, for real. So, Donald Trump's, right, 1980s criticism of Japan. Trump saw Japan as America's biggest trade rival. He argued Japan manipulated markets to its advantage. He criticized politicians for being weak in trade negotiations. I agree with that part. I do. Trump claimed Japan was stealing America's wealth. His voice carried weight even before entering politics. Many blue-collar workers agreed with him. He positioned himself as a defender of American workers. Trump's critiques foreshadowed his later presidency. His words reflected a growing backlash against globalization. Even then, Trump showed his ability to shape public opinion, man. Even back in the 1980s, Donald Trump, man, right, was very influential amongst the American people, right? And even back then, even till this day, his words carry weight. Whether you like the man or not, right? I don't think there will ever be another Donald Trump in our lifetime. I don't think so, right? In my lifetime, I don't think there'll be somebody else like Donald Trump in my lifetime, man. You know what I mean? Because, look, this man helped shape, he changed a whole damn party, a whole damn political party. See what I'm saying? And this damn political party change into his damn image, right? Just like another person back in the day called Barry Goldwater. Same, right? These people have a weight, right? Especially when they have a little bit of money, when they have money, you know what I mean? Because sometimes people think, oh, they'll call somebody rich, right? Let's be real. So, because they think that because somebody's rich, they're going to all be right. You know what I mean? Because even back then, Donald Trump, I was thinking in his head, America should be like an isolationist country. We shouldn't be doing business with other damn country. Because the only thing they're doing, they're just exploiting America, right? You know what I'm saying? Some parts I do agree with. Because I don't believe a lot of these countries should be coming here, buying up lands and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because we're like, no, we're, as Americans, Americans can't go to China and buy up damn land up in China. They can lease lands, but they can't buy lands in China. You know what I mean? So I think it should be fair across the border, right? So that part I don't agree. I mean, that part I do agree with what Donald Trump is saying. Now, the collapse of Japan's economy. economy, damn it. In the early 1990s, Japan's economic bubble burst. Real estate prices crashed, wiping out wealth. Stock markets collapsed, hurting businesses and investors. The banking sector was crippled by bad loans. Economic growth slowed to near zero. Japan entered its last decade of stagnation. Excuse me. Once a rising power, Japan became a cautionary tale. America's fear of being overtaken faded. Japan never fully regained its 1980s momentum. The U.S.-Japan trade war left scars that shape future policies, right? And I do believe when all that happened, though, it's because Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying? Now, I don't say have everything to do with it, but he helped shape public opinion. You know what I'm saying? It takes one person to do that, right? To help shape public opinion. You know what I mean? You say certain things enough, people is going to start to believe it, right? So, you know what I mean? And even like with those companies like Japan, right? When it comes to America, they buy up these damn lands and build buildings, right? And build buildings. Do they hire enough American people in all different positions? You know what I mean? Black people, white people, everybody. You see what I'm saying? Or do they just hire their own? Right? Sometimes I wonder that. I ain't talking about those people in low positions, right? I'm talking about people in high positions, you know what I mean? In leadership roles, right? Do they hire different races of people in different roles too? Or do they just hire their people, you know what I mean? In the damn high roles, in the high roles, the decision-making roles, all that crap, right? You know what I mean? So Japan fell because America got tired of it, right? Tired of, you know what I mean, losing businesses to the Japanese people, right? And Japanese are rich people. Now, after Japan, China's economic rise in the 2000s. So Japan fell when it comes to America, right? But China started rising. Like they never give up. So China opened its markets in the late 20th century. U.S. companies move production to China for cheap labor. Right? So in 2001, China joined the World Trade Organization. So, China, right, started exports surged as America became dependent on Chinese goods, man. Come on, let's talk about this, right? How many times do you buy a product in, let's say, like a Walmart somewhere, and you think made in China, right? Like I said, Walmart and other retailers stock shelves with made in China. Made in China, although it might be an American-made company, right? But you see, made in China, even when I was a kid, I used to think there was made in China. You know what I mean? Trust me, China built massive foreign reserves from U.S. trade surpluses. Factories in China became the backbone of global supply chains. Millions of Chinese citizens rose out of poverty. Think about it, right? Despite of what you think about China, right? China's gonna look out for its people. You know what I'm saying? You might say China might be a communist country, or whatever. But one thing in China, we look out for its damn people. Look at that, right? China became the world's factory. The U.S. helped fuel China's rise, just as it had Japan decades earlier, right? So when it comes to Japan and when it comes to China, right? We call off the, like, America, right? It's like the youngest country in the world, right? Major company, country, right? In the world. But it became the most powerful country in the world in a short period of time, right? Because every damn country wants to do business right here in America. Every major countries, right? And you know what I mean? I don't blame, although, yeah, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I'm not a fan of him, right? But certain things, I don't blame him when it comes to certain things about, like, actually putting America first, right? You know what I mean? You got to put America first. Because China, Japan, they're going to put their people first. You understand me? So you got to put America first. But when you say put America first, I mean every single citizen that live here in this country. Every single American. Not just the rich people, man. Poor people too. You know what I mean? And I believe it should be the poor people that should be taken care of first. Not the rich, wealthy people. They're fine. Because right now, if push comes to shove, these rich people could leave America right now and go anywhere in the world that they want. See what I'm saying? So I think America really, really needs to look deep down and really invest in a lot in the poor people in the poor neighborhoods, man. And I guarantee America's always shining, but I guarantee if they do that, America will be shining even more. See what I'm saying? Because right now, right, we are not the envy of the world no more. See what I'm saying? With all the stuff that's going on in America, you see what I'm saying? With all these damn young black people getting their ass beat by the police officers, you know what I mean? With people who barely find money for groceries and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? Trust me, we're not the damn envy of the damn world. Because there are people in other countries that those people might be less fortunate than us, but they don't draw themselves in debt like we do here in America. So how are we the envy of the world? You understand that, right? You know what I'm saying? So I don't blame America, right? I don't blame Donald Trump for that part, right? You know what I mean? Because especially a lot of these companies from other countries, right? They come to America. They build businesses in America. But are they hiring Americans in top positions in their company, decision makers within their company? You know what I mean? Are they doing that? Or are they just coming in and just sucking up the damn money? Just sucking up the American money. And when they can't suck it up no more, they move on. All the things we got to think of, man. You know what I mean? All the things we got to think of. But when it comes to this, but I don't agree with him on is the damn tariffs, though. The damn high tariffs, right? You know what I mean? Because I do believe things should be fair across the border, man. Should be fair across the border. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you can't raise tariffs a little bit, but when you put in 50% tariffs, 60% tariffs, whatever the number is, that's ridiculous to me. Because we as consumers, we are the ones that's going to feel the brunt of it. So, Donald Trump's tariffs in the 21st century. As president, Donald Trump revived tariffs as a tool for economic policy. He imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. He targeted Chinese goods with billions in tariffs. Trump argued tariffs would bring jobs back to America. Supporters saw him standing up for U.S. workers, right? So Donald Trump, right, he wanted to bring a lot of manufacturing jobs back to America, right? But let's come on, man. Let's be real on this. Let's be real about this of the situation. The man, their manufacturing jobs should be a thing of the damn past. For real. You know what I mean? Come on, how many young kids today, young people today, really want to go in and work and do a manufacturing job when they could educate themselves, right? And get cushy ass office job. You know what I'm saying? And even some of them don't have to have no formal education, but depend on the damn job, right? You know what I'm saying? Manufacturing job is hard work. These young kids ain't trying to work like that no more, like their fathers and mothers did and grandparents did. You know what I mean? So let that manufacturing job stay over there. We should be investing in more technology. In more tech, high-tech stuff. You know what I'm saying? AI is the future. And that's what we need to be really investing in, teaching these young children in how to use AI properly. Right? Instead of thinking about their manufacturing job, their blue-collar damn job, for what? If the young kid wanted to have a blue-collar job, they go to school, get to be a plumber, be a mechanic. Don't need to do all that hard work. I mean, of course, plumber, mechanic, hard work, but their manufacturing damn job, sometimes being FIFA 8-10 hours a damn day, busting your ass. Who wants to really do that crap, man? People ain't trying to work hard like that no more. Trust me. People want to have a cushy damn job. And the young children, I'm telling you, these young kids, they're going to figure it away. So the manufacturing job, that should be a thing of the past, right? That should be a thing of the damn past, right? We shouldn't even think about no damn manufacturing jobs, man. Forget all that. Invest in more AI type stuff, right? Technology. That's what the government needs to start investing in. You know what I mean? Let the kid learn more about damn computers and stuff like that instead of damn manufacturing crap. So trade partners retaliated, right? Hurting farmers and exporters. Tariffs shook global supply chains right now. Trump proved tariffs could still reshape the economy. His approach revived protectionism as a political force, right? His approach revived protectionism as a political force. I'm telling you right now, man, we're going to see about this. Like I said, right? Give the man a chance. Let's see if it's going to work. This tariff crap. It's still early in the game. You know what I mean? So I'm saying it's still early in the game, right? The only thing though that right now be pissing me off because right now the unemployment right now is very high. People, they can't find a damn job. It's hard to find a damn job right now, a good paying job. You know? And when these people are talking about they add certain amount of jobs to the damn economy, right? Economy. Now, what kind of jobs are they really talking about? That's what I want to know. What kind of jobs are they really talking about when you say they add this much job, right? Because certain jobs should never be in the situation. Fast food restaurant jobs should never be in the situation. Housekeeping jobs should never be in the situation, right? Even nurses should never be in the type of job. And I'm going to tell you why, right? Because those jobs anyway, people quit those jobs any damn way. Quit and go find something else in most cases, right? You know what I mean? You work as a housekeeper, right? You put maybe 5 housekeepers on staff. The next thing you know, somebody quit, right? So that leave a position open. You know what I'm saying? And those people quit those fast food restaurant jobs. Those people don't do, especially those young people. They're not gonna stay at that damn job, those type of jobs forever. So those type of jobs should never be in the damn numbers, man. I don't know if it is or not, but it shouldn't be. You see what I'm saying? It should not be. That's how I feel. Right? So now let's talk about a new world order. So Trump's tariffs hint at the larger global shift, right? If y'all not paying attention, the world is changing right in front of our eyes. Right now, the world is changing. So y'all better start paying attention, man. America's not going to be a superpower anymore if things keep going the way it is. Protectionism challenges decade of free trade. The U.S. could reshape global supply chains. Allies may be forced to choose sides, right? And that's what they're doing right now. The dollars dominance could be challenged. America's role as a global consumer is under pressure. Tariffs could realign world power. Trump positioned himself as a disruptor of the old system, right? He's a disruptor of the old system. So will that work? Huh? A new world order may emerge from trade wars. The future of globalization is uncertain right now. It's uncertain. The future is uncertain. But I've been seeing a lot of things that's going on right now, right? And I'm paying attention. Like some countries in Africa right now, it started to work together. You know what I mean? I think like 4 or 5 countries right now in Africa. So I'm saying? And imagine, man, if Africa decided to put all their resources together and work as one entity, one continent, one whole nation. Imagine, right? All they have to do is make sure they get the army. You see what I'm saying? They have to have a good-ass army. 54 countries in Africa, trust me, they could get a really good army and train them. Train them up. Get trained, right? One way. Get trained one way. Dress right, dress. One currency. And then choose the language. Choose one language. Yeah, everybody could have every different, could have still their own dialect, of course, but still have the one major language that everybody learn, especially the young people today. You know what I mean? Maybe it could be harder for the older generation, but for the young generation coming up. You see what I'm saying? One language, one currency, and one army. And I guarantee they could be unstoppable. They could be. You know what I mean? If they get rid of all the damn corruption that's going on over there right now in Africa, in some of those countries. Right? Get rid of all the damn corruption, right? But I know some of those leaders that have been in power forever, they're not going to want to step down for the betterment of the country because they don't give a damn about their country. They don't. Because if they did, they were thought about it from a long time ago and change what's going on. So I'm saying? So, like I said, right, the future of America is uncertain right now. Not uncertain, but the world is uncertain. The future of the world is uncertain because we don't know what's going to happen a year to 2 years from now. You understand me? You know what I mean? A lot of these countries right now are banding together. And maybe it's about time. You know what I mean? Because America is too damn cocky. You see what I'm saying? It really is. America is too damn cocky, and America is always in other people's business, man. You know what I mean? Trust me. So if things change, who knows? It might be changing for the better, but we're going to see. Right? So now, because of Donald Trump, that's what I believe. China, Russia, and India aligning. Wow. Excuse me. Those three countries are aligning with each other. China seeks to challenge U.S. economic dominance, right? Russia, isolated from the West, looks east for allies. India, rising at the power balances between both, right? And I'm going to tell you something about India, man. A lot of people don't believe me when I say this. My father, right, may he rest in peace right now, back in the 1990s, he told me something, man. Because, you know, he used to read a lot of stuff, whatever. He told me something. He said, Valentine, one day America is not going to be a superpower anymore. He told me that. He said, what country is he going to rise? He's going to rise up, he's going to least expect it in India. It's going to be a country that's going to rise to be the next superpower. These nations collaborate in the BRICS alliance. They aim to reduce dependence on the U.S. dollar, right? They promote alternative financial systems. Trade agreements bypassing the West are increasing. Their combined population and markets rival the West. This alignment could reshape geopolitics. The U.S. faces a new kind of competition, man. Think about it, right? China, Russia, and India are aligning. They're going to be like, you know what, though? You can keep a damn tariff. I'm going to think right now. Trust me, us three could work together. And those three countries are some big countries, right? We could work together. We don't need you no more, America. That's what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? And for the damn news saying, well, that Putin, right, played down Trump like a fiddle. Trust me. Kamala Harris said that shit in the damn debate. When Donald Trump thinks Putin is his damn friend. Trying to suck up to damn Putin. You know what I mean? Come on now. Tell me. Putin was what before he became the president of Russia? Some kind of KGB spy or something like that? Something? You know what I mean? So Putin knew what the hell he was doing. Right? Obama tried to break Putin. Couldn't do it. I don't know if Biden did it. I think Bush tried it. Couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? Why make you think Donald Trump is going to do it? Right? And Bush and Biden, Obama, you know what I mean? Are very way smarter than damn Donald Trump. Right? Lee, I said it. Bush and Obama, right? Biden too. Way smarter than damn Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? That man is not that damn smart. He's just lucky to have people behind him. You know what I mean? I don't know why. But, yeah, he's not as smart as what people think. So, the know people, y'all need to brace yourselves, right? History shows tariffs can trigger unintended consequences right now. The economic booms often lead to painful bust. Global power shifts create uncertainty. America's rivals are organizing for the future. Trade wars could spill into politics, conflicts. Citizens must prepare for instability, right? Y'all must prepare yourselves, man. Do what y'all need to do. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? To prepare for what's going on. Make sure y'all have a little savings together, if you could. Y'all have a little nest egg just in case. You know what I mean? You should be doing that anyway, but just in damn case, man. You know what I mean? Trust me. Even if you got to put a few dollars, all you need a mattress. You know what I'm saying? Just to keep it out of the way. Don't put it in the bank. Put it somewhere. Just in case. You'll never know, man. You'll never know what's coming. You know what I mean? Trust me. And I believe you should then stock up with a lot of canned food and non-perishable items just in case. Everyday life could be disrupted by economic shifts. The balance of power is moving eastward, man. Right? I'm telling you right now, they're forgetting about the West. You know what I'm saying? Sorry about that. Forget about the Dagon West. You know what I mean? So Americans must adapt or risk decline. The world stands on the stage of transformation, man. I'm telling you something right now, right? So we have talked about the tariffs from the 1880s to today, from Japan's rise to China. China's boom, right? From Trump words in the 1980s, to his tariffs in the White House. And now, as nations align and the world order trembles, one thing is certain. History isn't just behind us. It's unfolding right now. Until right now. You know what I mean? History is unfolding right in front of our eyes. I'm telling you right now, people. Right now, we need to pay attention, man. And we need to really make sure that we are okay, that our family is okay. So I'm telling you, the government does not care about us, right? The government does not care at all, for real. So I do believe we need to figure out a way to make sure we actually take care of each other, man. Take care of each other, for real. You know what I mean? Because if not, we're gonna be left at the wayside. And who's gonna be okay? Those rich, wealthy people. They're the one that's gonna be fine. While us, the struggling people out here, you know what I mean? We're gonna be struggling, trying to make a way, trying to make our way. So I'm telling you, people, heed my advice, man. Make sure you're good. Make sure your family is good, okay? Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.